Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Whole Truth Podcast. My name is Jordan Stevens, best known for season 3, episode 4, guest part in Catastrophe. I think it was that episode. Have you seen Catastrophe?
Yep.
I'm here with my good friend and business companion, Matt Campion. Today's podcast is going to work a little differently. Well, it's not actually, is it?
No.
It's got a different energy to it on the basis that you're not necessarily being welcomed into the whole world. You have created, co-created, like led the way, directed much of the whole experience.
Under your energy.
Thank you, sir. So for just to explain that again for you listeners, the whole reason, we can't stop doing puns because of how common the term whole is. the reason as to why this I Am Whole campaign came about was a beautiful, I'd say a serendipity, something I believe in, coincidence, not so sure about, but synergy perhaps, through reaching out. I reached out to Dom Jolly once upon a time because I liked Regappy TV, and I was thinking something in the realms of Rizzle Kicks doing a video with whatever. And I met this lovely man, Matt Campion, who produces Regappy TV alongside your phenomenal production company, Spirit Media, who may or may not be recording this podcast right now. And I came to you and I went, oh, you know, you still got those little bits in Trigger-Happy when he has the kind of sultry singer-songwriter music. And you're like, yeah. And I went, well, I've got this other project I've been working on where I kind of have slow singy music. And it just so happened that at the same time, you'd got a pitch, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, from the NHS.
Yeah.
Asking to come up with an idea of how to... battle stigma surrounding mental health and young people. And I played you a song I'd written about my own depression called Whole. And I just got a text once. I remember getting it, a little text going, oh yeah, how about we get everyone to draw circles in their hands? And then I think the reply was me with a circle on my hand.
Do you know what's mad is that I'd spent the night before, I think my wife went to bed. I think she was like, do you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. Because I literally sat at home. I had to come up with a sort of creative... sort of plot line for what we were going to do. And I think I listened to Whole 400 times that night.
Really?
I listened to it like on a 2-hour train journey. And then I got home and I carried on listening to it. And I woke up in the morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I woke my wife up and I was like, oh no, I've got it. And I said, I'm going to get everyone to draw a black circle on their hands.
Wow.
And then she was like, are you still going on about that song?
Really?
I was like, yeah.
She don't like it now.
And then, no, she loves it. And then I remember texting you. I think I still got the text, actually. I think I texted you at 6:30 in the morning, not knowing that you'd be awake. And you were like, yeah, that's wicked.
I just hadn't slept in weeks.
fuck lunch or dinner. Spend so much time around notes, you think I'm in love with a singer. Yeah, but I wanna get richer. Life threw me a bag of lemons. No wonder I'm bitter.
The most pressing thing about mental health is that there's no one safe.
That's true.
I don't like this idea of normal. I think everyone has very unique, beautiful circumstances that they need to manage. Not need to, but you know, could benefit from managing. Like for example, you get labelled of things. Apparently, I have ADHD. For whatever reason, there are certain aspects of my life that I find difficult. Da, 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 da. So, with that in mind, I don't believe in normal. I'm just gonna say that to you guys, to everyone right now. I don't believe in it.
I agree with you.
And people who consider themselves normal, I think if anything, that's proof of the absolute antithesis.
Mm. I agree.
You know, like when, yeah. Anyway, you know, like if you say to someone, "Act normal," and they never seem more bizarre. Anyway. So with that in mind, it appeals on the basis that people can be open about their individual little bits and bobs, the quirks. And I know that you also have a personal connection to the I Am Whole campaign. So it'd be good to hear a little bit about that.
So you're talking about my...
Well, before.
Yeah.
But to ease you in, I'm going to ask you two quick questions.
Yeah, go on.
What's your favourite shape?
Circle.
You have to say circle though, innit? Because the I Am Whole campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
How weird would it have been if you said square? I'm actually not so sure about that because there are limited answers and most people seem to say, I mean, there's only four answers really, isn't it? Well, I'm hoping that in one of these podcasts, someone will go cuboid.
Or an octagon.
Yeah. Or, do you know what I mean? Dodecahedron.
I think a circle. It's fluid.
Well, it's the only shape that has no corners.
Corners, yeah. Yeah. It's smooth and it's endless. It's infinity.
And also, if it's the only number. Well, it's zero, isn't it? It's the only number that doesn't, that is wholly connected.
And also, if you say it out loud, oh.
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 Do you know that nothing is everything? What's your favourite, what's your favourite, wait, what's the other one? Colour. What's your favourite colour?
I'd really struggle with that.
Why? Are you colourblind?
No. I just don't think I have one.
What, the ability to see?
No, colour? I just don't think I've got a favourite colour.
You don't have a favourite colour?
I know what colours I don't like.
That's bizarre. You've gone the other way.
Well, are you one of those people? Hear me out, right? I kind of think greens and browns are...
You're a reductive person, are you?
Although I've got a green coat and I wear... But
as a kid, mate, what colour is your bedroom?
Blue. Blue would have been my colour as a kid.
Like gender vibes.
No.
It was, wasn't it?
No, because I'm not into that.
Is it because you're a boy?
No.
Is it because you're black?
It's because I think red is...
Matt Campion's not black.
It's because I think red means danger. So it feels kind of fire. I don't know, although that kind of fiery kind of... Well, but blue's also cold, isn't it? So it's kind of, it's difficult.
And it's also porn.
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I really wish. I can't, in my head, I kind of feel like there's a colour that has yet to be invented that would be my colour.
Okay, listen, don't... F of me on this because that is wild. You know where colours come from, right?
Yeah.
Like rocks underground.
Right.
They just get found.
Yeah.
Specific shades get found.
Well, and it's also
imagine
a fraction
if you saw a new colour,
prism.
Bro.
I know. I still feel like there's
chickens
a colour out
can
there
see
for me.
More colours than us, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. I might have made that up, but I'm pretty sure it's true. I read it. Clock off, do you say? Clock off.
I do like lots of different colours, but I know what I don't
what
like.
What shade of
it?
Blue?
Much more in the sort of lighter going towards turquoise version.
Oh, that's greeny blue. Yeah, I love that. That's like my favourite blue.
Yeah.
Love that. Gotta watch my life at all costs. So fuck it, shit's amazing. Treating life like it's a painting. It's so scintillating, ain't it? Maybe need some changes. In terms of your own mental health, let's just say a little bit about that and why.
Okay. Well, yeah. Do you know, like, so 2 years ago, just before we launched I Am Whole, and I can tell you when it is because I came across a photograph on my phone, and I've not talked about this publicly actually yet before, but you know, I want everybody to be open and honest about this, so I'm willing to do it. I came across a photograph of myself in hospital. And so it was August the 16th, 2016, and it was just before we launched. In fact, I think it was a couple of days after we'd filmed the music video. And I'd been working extremely hard across the summer, making lots of lots of things and hadn't really taken any time for myself. And I was not feeling very well at work. And I started doing what everyone does, which is Dr. Google, which really doesn't help anybody. And I'd never experienced anxiety or panic attacks or anything like that before. And I left to go home. And en route, I was walking down the road and literally the world completely flipped on me. My heart was pounding through my chest. I couldn't breathe. I thought I was having a heart attack. All I could think about was my two kids. And about the fact that I wouldn't be able to say goodbye. What? And I ran into the pharmacy that was on the street and I shouted, call 999, I'm having a heart attack. And she actually looked at me in disgust, like I'm trying to serve a customer.
Really?
And I was, yeah. And it was like, she's gone out of business now. I wonder if that's karma. But
wow.
She wasn't very nice at all.
Very London, isn't it?
She wasn't very nice at all. And she shoved me into the back of the shop. I couldn't breathe. And luckily they got a first responder to me within a minute.
Whoa.
And he turned up on a mountain bike and he came in and he looked at me and he just told me, and I was just spinning. I couldn't see. I was having all these horrible sensations going through my body. And, he said to me, have you been working too much? Are you stressed? And I said, I have been working a lot. And he said, you're having a panic attack. And I didn't even know what one was at the time. And I mean, I'd heard about anxiety, but I didn't know it could have such a physical effect on the body. Anyway, the ambulance turned up. They got me into the ambulance. They did an ECG and they said that I was fine, but there was a couple of things I wanted to check. So they took me to the hospital and I spent a couple of hours having everything checked, my bloods, my heart rate, everything, to make sure that I was fit and healthy. And I came back with clean, you know, with good results. And obviously that calmed me right down. And I was able to leave, but it was really, really scary. And then I don't think I've even told you this, that the day that we launched I Am Whole at the I360, just before I was having to come out and do my talk, it started coming on again.
Really?
And I had to leave the room. And I had to really, really focus and control my breathing. And then come back in and actually go and deliver a speech to 200 journalists.
Yeah.
But once it had blown over, it was fine. And I think after that, it was something that I'd kind of never had to deal with. It was something that I'd never experienced. It was very confusing. And luckily for me, it didn't reoccur for some months. But then about a year ago, they returned. And I had a really bad panic attack that lasted an entire train journey. It was commuter from London to Brighton. The train was packed. The sensations were so intense. I just didn't know how I was going to control it or what I was going to be able to do. And I had to keep going to the toilet and talking myself down. Whoa. And I literally couldn't breathe. And I was thinking, if I lock the door on the toilet, I need to lock the door on the toilet because I don't want anyone to come in and see me in this state. But if I lock myself in the toilet and I suddenly go, you know, or something happens, then no one's going to think about unlocking the toilet and finding me.
Yeah.
So I was having all that panic going on and I got to Hayward Heath and I had to get off and I called my wife, and my wife's such my rock of support in this now, because she can talk me down.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she can. But since then, you know, and then since then I've had quite a few, and I'm trying my best to work out, you know, anxiety is becoming such a thing that I'm interested in now and such a thing that I want to talk about and help people. I mean, I had a pretty bad one yesterday. And I think one of the things that you've got to do is, well, we were talking about this earlier on, the pillars, right? So looking after yourself, self-care is massively important. And I think I'm guilty of working too much, never doing it. And then, you know, from time to time, I'll you know, have a drink to relax or whatever. And actually what you've got to do is, you know, you've got to really take time to look after yourself in terms of physical exercise. I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Your diet, you know, cut out alcohol is a huge trigger.
Tough in Britain.
Yeah. But it's a huge trigger, especially in that moment of hangover. You know, it's a huge trigger.
Especially if you're one of these people who is falls into the hangover food trap.
Yeah,
big what time. Is that?
Big time.
Where I think what begins with your body's basic desire for sugar and salt morphs into a human created legitimacy for just fast food.
Fast food. Yeah, exactly.
Which
yeah,
is the worst. The worst.
Mm.
I'm really sorry to hear about that. And so, yeah, so they're for even more so, this is very close to home.
Very close to home. I mean, I don't think people realise, I mean, just what actually happens to you when you have a panic attack is...
It's a loss of control, isn't it?
Well, you've got two adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys. And when you sleep at night, the adrenaline increases and your body produces chemicals that aren't good for you, right? So they're the things that can take you nearer to having anxiety or a nervous panic attack or whatever. And actually, a lot of people in the morning will go for a run because physical exercise depletes those levels.
Yeah.
So you've got to... And we all produce the chemicals at different rates, right? So yeah. Some people will never experience anything like that because of the way they're chemically balanced. Some of the people have to do other things to make sure they can balance themselves.
Right.
So when you've got all these toxins of life, all these stresses from work, from drinking too much, from eating bad food, you know, any of those things, what all that does is adds to filling those pots of chemicals. And if you get to a point where they spill over, that's when the adrenaline pumps through your body. And then it's the adrenaline that creates the entire panic attack. And the more powerful that is, the more horrendous it is. So what happens is that your diaphragm rises. So that's where you go short of breath. You start breathing in your chest because you're supposed to be in fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
Your body has said, something's not right. I'm either going to fight or flight now, like in a caveman style. And you either got to run 100 miles an hour or you've got to stand around and you've got to fight and you've got to expel that energy. So all that adrenaline is making you superhuman. If you're a wrestler, you'd want that, you know what I mean? But if you're someone that is just for no reason because something subconsciously has triggered your brain and these toxins overflow, then all of a sudden you've got this out of control behavior happening. And then things like all the blood rushes around your heart. So that's why your chest goes horrendously painful.
But you know, also anxiety is... Because you've just used the example of fear, you know, that is anxiety is a response to fear.
Yeah,
I think that like anxiety can be healthy, especially if it's able to, I don't know, morph into excitement. For example, you know, like I know that to some people the fear of going on stage or getting on a flight.
Mm.
I know I feel the same thing, but my reaction is to run into it rather than to run away or freeze.
Well, what's mad is that you know what I'm like as a in my day to day life.
But I'm saying the emotion might not be fear.
Yeah, well, maybe
that's the other thing.
Because I think I live on adrenaline. I'm somebody that's hugely positive. I run my own business. I've built this campaign. I'm someone that is really positive, really outgoing. I've got a big personality and it's not something that I think a lot of people wouldn't expect me to say that I've had panic attacks or I would suffer in that way.
Yeah, but that's the main, that's, if anything, and from my understanding of it, you'd be one of the top.
Yeah. That, you're right, actually.
Because that, for that reason.
Yeah.
The brighter the light, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in life, we're all finding a place of balance. If you're saying you're overworking,
but you know, like
I know why I've fallen into places of emotional extremity, and it's usually because I have been running from something, or I've not wanted to have time to think about how I really felt, which is the start, which is why the conversations surrounding mental health are actually important. It's not just a thing of like, oh, I feel like this, and this is what I'm going to take for it. It's like it's the beginning of something, because a lot of those original traumas or those original feelings of emotion, they are physical entities that live in you.
Well, that'll be, you know, my history, my past, my childhood was, I don't want to go into too much detail, but you know, I, you know, as a child from the age of 10 years old, I witnessed three attempted suicides. I, you know, there was a lot of alcohol addiction, a lot of drug addiction surrounding my life as a kid, in my family, and having to deal with that and then come out and, I suppose you bury it, don't you? And I think, you know, I mean, I'm very aware, I'm acutely aware of the fact that, you know, those things come back out, and we'll get you at some point, and you've got to, that's why you've really got to, make sure that you are open and honest about those things.
Yeah, it's tough.
But you've not, I mean, you've been living really cleanly for like the last 6 months, right?
Longer.
Longer.
All year almost.
I've seen a massive change in you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I can get your attention for a lot longer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm able to actually hide my... I'm actually hide it. Yeah. Well, I'm still kind of medicating myself for ADHD in a way. Not medicating myself. I have prescribed. But I suppose it's more of a balance in that I'm purely looking to balance myself rather than... Honestly, chaos for most of my life has been a language I understand, and I've quite enjoyed the roller coaster of, you know, drug abuse and sabotage and, you know, this and that and extreme emotion. I was always like, oh my God. And then, oh yeah, highs and lows. Oh. So this last 9 months has just literally been adjusting to a different way of, and I'm not sure yet if I think it's fun, but I do know that if I was to go back into a more chaotic place, I know that quite quickly into that, maybe 2 weeks, maybe even less, I'd realize the moments that I've actually now built a quite solid foundation on that I wasn't aware of.
You know
of.
What, though? And that's what I see you doing. I mean, I did a period of time, 13 months when I had my second child, not drinking. And it was just, it was amazing. You know, you just sleep, everything's better, isn't it? Sleep's better. You just got more energy for everything.
I think it goes without saying that, like, waking up not hungover, that's the greatest advert for sobriety, is my friends waking 100%. Up the next day. But I do need to find a way for my stories to not all finish with, and then I got to bed at 10:30. But there is. I have to teach myself now. I have to teach myself the authentic pleasures, the conscious fun that isn't generated out of, in, you know, being inebriated. You know, to be like, I have to be drunk enough to make that decision, or I have to be high enough to do that. Like, now, you know, you get put into this terrifying place of human exposure where it's like you are truly choosing what you want to do and what fun you want to have. And you know, now I want my stories to, I suppose, to be based around various people I meet, places I go, I don't know. But also I do want to get to a place where I do everything moderately. Like, I similarly don't believe in being imprisoned by the notion. I mean, of course, for true addicts, for people who can really, really suffer with addiction, like disease level, if people do consider it that still, I've just heard that mentioned in the past, then, you know, you go to meetings, da, 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 and it's essential because there's something. I think for me, my addiction was more towards just destroying myself. So I really do hope that I can get to a place. And actually, I think even people who are in meetings, like, you know, get to a place where it's about actually having a freedom to do kind of what you want responsibly, and being aware of the realities of a lot of what we do. You know, drinking is not good for you. I mean, smoking is not good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
None of these stuff is about, I think that, like, you also can't be perfect. And also we're all tumbling through this kind of really non-descript, chaotic, obstacle ridden, like totally unpredictable existence that is, well, and we have fear and inadequacy pushed on us.
That fear thing, shame is such a big thing surrounding mental health. You know,
yeah,
like,
but we're pushed into these spaces. You know,
people feel guilty about their behaviours, about what they said, or it's about what you were talking with Stephen about on the last podcast about your perception of yourself and the reflection of others. It's so true, because if you're someone that's, you know, in the fear or in a hangover or whatever, if you suddenly get those cringe moments, oh God, did I say that? Did I do that? which isn't kind of what you would have ever done in sobriety, then you put it upon expecting them to think the worst of you. And actually, you know, they probably don't even, can't even remember, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Half the time, or care, you know. And actually what we do is we all beat ourselves up massively about the way, you know, the sort of shame from our behaviours that we might do when we've had a drink.
Yeah. Yeah, it is about just taking care of yourself in whatever guise that comes in. You know what? I had one beautiful moment I'll describe. I went on holiday with my girlfriend's to see my girlfriend's godparents, and she has this godmother called Jean, who's this kind of wonderful, wonderful. I think she was 78 when we got. It's actually her birthday, but she didn't make a fuss about it. But I had this wonderful exchange with her where I was like, "Oh, you know, can I make a cup of coffee?" It was in the morning. I was going to make a cafe tea or whatever. And I said to her, like, "Do you want one?" And she goes, "Oh, no, I'm fine." And I was like, "Do you not drink coffee in the mornings?" And she was just like, "Oh, well, you know," as I was, because, you know, like having an early coffee in the morning and you have a little drop. And she was like, "Well, I'm not sure." And I was like, "Do you just drink coffee in the evenings then?" And she was like, "Well, and I was like, do you drink coffee because you're worried about, do you not drink coffee?" And she was like, and she just looked at me and she went, "You know what? I drink coffee whenever I like." And it was like, in that moment, I was like, "Oh yeah,
you're there doing it."
I was stuck in this like London-centric mindset where you know everyone's like, got these boxes they give themselves where it's like, "I don't drink coffee past 3 because otherwise I will not sleep. I don't eat this." And there's this.
You were getting all Jerry Maguire. Show me the coffee.
I was like getting into this whole structured, you know, very. You know, 12 rules.
But it's
life.
True. Like at the moment, I'm not drinking caffeine. I'm off caffeine, right? Because it's not good for, you know, it's not good for my anxiety, right? So it helps. If I have a coffee, I can feel it coming on.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, so
anxiety
like,
machine.
Yeah. So like, you're right. Because actually so many people are like, "Oh no, well, I might have one in the morning or I might have two." Or you get the ones that'll be like, "Oh no, I drink 5 all day." Like I drink like Peter, you know, my business partner. He drinks like 10 coffees a day. He's just a coffee machine.
I just think like, but listen, I do believe look, routine is important, order is important, structure is important. However, I do believe as human beings that we do sometimes miss out on just this level of authenticity where you can just kind of go with what you want.
Yeah.
Like within your infrastructure, do you know what I mean? Yeah, within the life you set up. The way she said that to me, and it's the same with drinking. And it's like, there's that freedom where you're not holding, because you know, the reason why things can be so shocking to a person in sobriety is if they break something. That's what I've had an issue with my sobriety, because I'm not addicted to alcohol, but now I've created a thing where if I drink, it's a thing now.
That was, when I did it for 13 months, I didn't want to stop because I was like,
if I drink, it's a thing. I know, but what does that say for our own self-control? You know, what does that say for our own vision of ourselves? Because really, I'd really only be upset based on the perception of another person when they ask me if I'm sober and what I feel guilty because I had a little drink. That's a mad world we live in, isn't it?
Yeah.
When actually it just depends on how I feel. And really, I'm gonna look someone in the eye and be like, "I drink whenever I want to." But you know, that can get slippy. But I know myself in that space. I know myself. And I just do think that we have to trust ourselves a lot more and not be afraid or ashamed to just be honest. And also hold ourselves accountable to little slip ups and errors, and just consider ourselves work in progresses, you know. And not just breathe out and just know that everyone else is full of flaws, and those flaws are perfections. If that makes sense, that sounds well cheesy, but you know what I'm saying.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
That song, you know, when you write something from a place of like sadness, I suppose you dream of it positively affecting people via the song, but for that song to then affect something bigger than the song.
It's incredible, really, when you think about it. Just, I mean, the reach that we had, I know we've said it before, but, you know, the fact that that song reached 120 million people.
Yeah.
On World Mental Health Day, but also just the way it brought everyone together, you know, from the whole music video, you know, your suggestion of creating a music video that was in two circles was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, do you know that story? See, that story is another example of synergy, which to this day freaks me out. And I really wish I could find the artist's name because I wanted that to be clear. But I, for a while, was trying to, because I said to you from the get-go, I was like, yo, I really, really want to come up with a treatment for the music video. And I remember I was sat at home on a Friday night and the treatment was deadline was Monday. And I was sat at home and I was trying to think, like, all right, circles, right, whole, circles, cool, spirals, like depression. Okay, circles, got to do something with bullseyes. And yeah, and I was like sitting there. And I got a couple of phone calls off this guy called Joe's, my mate. He's an artist. He's really cool. I'd only met him twice, though. I hadn't met him. I didn't know him really, really well. Although I do feel like I've known him for ages. But anyway, he rung me and was like, yo, mate, do you want to come to Margate with me and my friend? And I was like, no. That's wild. Like, I don't really know you. And also, I don't know. I don't think I want to go to Margate.
Is that why you live there now?
Yeah,
that's
part of the reason. No, but so this is part of the reason. So because of this experience, so I actually put my phone on airplane mode that night because I was like, I didn't want to just didn't want to think about it. Him and Cheryl, I hadn't even met Cheryl before. She was the other person going. And next morning, I swear, I woke up and I had the most. I did just this really, really strong desire to go to Margate. It was bizarre. It was like beyond reasoning. I hadn't got the treatment done. And I was having breakfast with a friend called Mary. And in the middle of breakfast, I said to her, I was like, yo, Mary, I really want to go to Margate. Should I just go? And she was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you want to. And I was like, right now. She was like, yeah. And I just stood up. And this is the honest truth, Mary, about this. I stood up in the middle of breakfast and just left her with the bill, walked out of the pub, 6% battery on my phone, no change of clothes, nothing. I went straight to the train station, got on a train, texted my mate Joe going, look, I'm getting in at like 6:30. He was kind of like, is it all right? You know, he met me at the station with Cheryl. We had this fun night, like went out drinking, da 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 da. And I still was kind of a bit like confused as to why I was there. Next morning, he goes, do you want to go to the Turner Gallery? Go to the Turner Gallery, I walk in and there's this big picture of this yellow circle. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool, man. And I look to the left and there's like this big like spiral. I was like, oh, sweet. And there's like a moon and I turn around, bro, and the exhibition is called The Art of the Circle.
Do you know what?
And I literally was like, it was as though someone had taken everything I wanted to be in my mind and put it on walls. And I saw video, I saw everything. And I went, right, did it. And I went home. They were like, no, we're driving back at 7. I was like, nope, got on a train. I went home, wrote the treatment.
I remember... Do you know what? Now I remember. I remember
you
phoning
circles.
Me, going, "Yo, mate, you're like, dude, this whole circle thing is kicking off. No, no straight lines anymore.
Yeah,
no corners.
Yeah,
just smooth circles,
mate." And the idea of a video through I was inspired during that exhibition of a video shot through two circles because it's like eyes. I want to do it again. I really
we
think it's
do.
Powerful, and I think it's and it was yeah. I think it's it. I'd never thought until I'd looked at the exhibition, I'd never considered what the scope of being able to tell a story through two circles.
I think serendipity, what you say though, is absolutely key because if the title of your song became the title of our organisation, it became I Am Whole, became our campaign hashtag, and actually all the connotations based around the circle just play into what we're trying to achieve and what we're trying to do. And I think as a symbol, I mean, actually, one of the things I was challenge to do was try and come up with the next ice bucket challenge. And I said, there's no way I could ever do that. You know, those things are viral phenomena. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's impossible. But one of the things that I always do, and I always believe this, is keep it simple, stupid. I think if you keep things really, really simple, then you've got a chance of having, you know, mass appeal. And I think one of the things that our circle does is it unites people, and it's a really simple, easy thing for people to do.
Yeah.
That has obviously touched so many people. I remember on World Mental Health Day, just looking through all the photographs online of people doing it. Some just the creativity around it was unbelievable.
No, it was a proper incredible. And also that it's just bizarre, you know, because the only reason as to why the song was titled Whole was because I up until that point had a weird thing about circles. I had a weird thing about words that started with letters that had curved edges.
Where was that?
I don't know. It's like one of those spectrum things.
Cut to actual World Mental Health Day. And how did you... I mean, did you expect the campaign to be as big as it was?
No.
I mean, I know we hoped it. Well, we always had...
No, I had absolutely no idea it'd be as big as it was. My life was very different then. Blow my mind. There's a lot.
I don't know whether people, I mean, because if you look at where we're at now with the organisation and our charity partners and the concert that we're putting on at the Roundhouse, I don't know if people actually realise that the actual I Am Whole campaign was just targeted at Brighton and Hove.
Yeah.
It was commissioned by the NHS in Brighton and Hove. And it went global.
Yeah.
Which is mad. You know, it's... I remember in the morning it going live and we started trending on Twitter. When the Evening Standard was printed, in the first run, we were just a little section of one part of the paper saying there was this campaign with I Am Whole. And then when they did the second print run, we'd got an entire page, with all the faces that had joined us, from James Corden to Ed Sheeran, etc.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Because that was when we decided that, you know, it wasn't going to just be a one-off campaign for us. It's actually, we felt passionate about what we'd managed to achieve. I mean, if I just think back on it, there was like a school centre's a video of like 1,000 pupils all standing together singing your song.
Yeah, it's mad.
And then we had like YouTube influencers doing some seriously creative videos that were doing like millions of views. So that was, it was that sort of, that wild reaction that we'd sort of hoped for, but we hadn't expected, I suppose, because we were just meant to service Brighton and Hove.
Yeah.
It was then, you know, we need to do something with this. We've got something that's really amazing. And I think the fact that we started off with your music video and music being an amazing communicator of language, that was a kind of that's when we decided to make that one of our sort of core things that we do.
Yeah. To have written something from a place of turmoil and the fact that for that to kind of end up performing or appearing as some kind of relief or opportunity for others is dope. And I'm glad it's carried on.
So for anyone that hasn't followed the story, or if you're new, follow the story of what we're doing so far, or if you're new to I Am Whole and Music for Mental Health, we began in 2016 with a music video and a track from Jordan. And Jordan became agreed to partner with me and the business to turn this into something ongoing, you know, always on, forever, and try and change. Our mission is really to try and change the way people talk about mental health and to make sure that people can get the help that they need. So last year, with music being our USP, we went with another band called Nothing But Thieves.
So yeah, Nothing But Thieves have been involved, and I've got a whole bunch of names. I've had friends come forward and ask to be involved. It's undeniable that mental health as a conversation is reasonably new. And also, I think the thing I'm most proud of in this run is that music for mental health is very much an action-based thing. I love raising awareness and I love opening conversation that is essentially an action, but to be able to raise money directly for the charities and organisations that are working right in the midst of things, I love that. It feels good.
That's why we're putting on the gig, is to make sure that we can raise funds for the charities that we work with to hopefully help anyone that is seriously suffering.
And also music is one of the greatest medicines, I'd say.
Do you want to tell everyone about Music for Mental Health, who's on the lineup, how they can get tickets?
Yeah, straight up, this November, Music for Mental Health, it's the I Am Whole campaign has collaborated with three charities, Calm, The Mix, YMCA, who have never worked together, but they're working together for the first time to help us put on this gig, Music for Mental Health. And we're doing it because music is a universal language that everyone understands, whether you speak the language or not. Like I've seen viral videos, dances, all kinds of amazing, connections that have been cultivated by musicality. Do you know what I mean? Like just the way in which it's, oh, you feel it. I love it. It makes me passionate. But anyway, the point is I've managed to get a bunch of my friends involved. Ed Sheeran is doing a little, he's opening up the gig, which, I mean, he's literally the biggest musician in the world, which is mad for me because, like, I met him when we were, like, we've been friends since we were, like, 17. And anyway, I used to have this, like, bright green jumper. It was great. I mean, he probably still has it. Anyway, he's opening it. James Arthur, Ella Eyre, Anne-Marie, Ollie Murs, Pro Green, and a couple more. And it's just going to be great. And I'm looking forward to it. There'll be little bits in between where we're talking about individual journeys. We're going to have some entertainment. My friend Hussein might jump up and do some poetry. There's all types of stuff going on. So hashtag I'm whole, hashtag M4MH. Shout out to Roundhouse.
Yeah, Roundhouse. And also check out Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which is at whole.org. And you can also go to our website, which is whole.org.uk. I eat, don't wanna shit where I sleep, so I don't sleep, I just repeat, I don't repent, I just receive. Yeah, these fees are all feasible if I agree to fool myself, believe and undermine. Keep it real, basically. And if you're ever worried about anything, just remember that when life gives you lemons,
you make lemon juice.
You make lemonade.
Well, you can't make lemonade because that many sugar. That's really bugged me about that phrase.
But it was your... Mate, that was the music video we made for Grizzles.
Didn't I talk about adding sugar?
And life gives you lemons.
You can't make lemonade without this. Anyway, don't worry, refined sugar is also bad for you. Have a good day. If you would like to subscribe to our podcast, please click subscribe. I mean, don't have to, but I'd really appreciate it. I think it would help. Have a nice day.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.